You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave wrapping up the preseason. Packers wind up going 3-1, losing to Kansas City. We won't talk as much about that as we will about the roster situation, Dave. But before we get to that, right up front, we want to mention the passing of a very good friend of ours, a guy that, well, that I worked with for over 20 years in Madison, and you work with him for your entire time that you were there, our friend Russ. Mm-hmm. I don't think Russ was a Packers fan, but I do know he was a great guy. He was at the top of his profession. He was a lawyer who worked for the organization that Dave and I did in Madison, kept us on the right side of the law, was a Renaissance man with creative solutions and ideas, great sense of humor. And he passed away at 66 years old, way too soon.
Yeah, Chris, one thing I thought I'd throw in for Russ, I have one memory that I will always remember of my time that we worked together. Is remember that time we had a conference down in Miami, and we all sat up by the pool, and we just joked around and laughed and laughed. I remember that was you, me, Russ was there at that. That was a great time. So my prayers are for him and his family. And really regret the passing.
Well, nobody on Packers Therapy, I don't think anybody here, knows the guy we're talking about, but Dave and I do. He was a very good friend. He'll have a memorial service in Madison on Thursday. And because he meant a lot to me and Dave, we wanted to let you guys know about our friend and the fact that he's no longer with us, Packers fan or not. Russ was a great guy and a fine man, and he will be missed by many people. So that memorial aside, to sort of launch us here in our fourth podcast of the season already. And yeah, the good news for listeners to Packers Therapy is that we're two-thirds of the way to our goal of raising enough money to send us to a Packers game, and we've even decided on a game that we want to go to. Now, some of it's my fault. I will admit it. the games we could go to, we have two possible dates. One of them was your daughter's birthday, so that's out. And the other one was in December, which I won't go to. I've gone to a half a dozen games in December. I am done sitting in December games in Lambeau Field. It was romantic for a while. It was romantic when I was in my 30s and 40s. Not as romantic as I'm getting into my late 50s. So that's out. But the game on the 25th is a possibility for us. That's
of this month.
Now that is the first Packers home game. So time's of the essence. we would very much appreciate it if you could help us get the last third of the way to our goal. You guys have been great so far. Later on, we'll tell you who's been contributing. A lot of people again this week. We appreciate it very much. You can hit us at PayPal. It's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. You go to PayPal and hit the option for giving money to a friend or friends in this case. And it's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. We are two-thirds of the way to where we need to be. We want to go to the game on the 25th. So if you like the podcast, if you're a fan of the podcast, hit us there. I don't know what it's worth to you. We've had some real generous people who have been terrific. A couple of people given, you know, $50. We had a $100 one. I mean, that's just great. So whatever the podcast is worth to you, and what we will do in exchange for this, we'll go to a game and we'll do a special donors-only podcast for those people that have been good enough to give more than $10 to the cause here. So if you haven't done it yet, you're interested in doing it, We want to go on the 25th. We got to grab our tickets before long. So if you could go over to PayPal, we would very much appreciate that.
Yeah, I think we said, Chris, that if we don't get what we need to go to the game on the 25th,
we will commit seppuku, right? We would go in the public square with one of those Japanese knives and commit seppuku.
Is that involve stabbing yourself?
I believe it's a ceremonial disembowelment.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was thinking we would just quit the podcast.
Oh, okay. That now just, that's a better idea. My wife would like that.
Step on my headphones, and that would be the end of it. That's, I think, I tell you what, I'll do my way, you do your way.
Fair enough. Unlike Russ, I would not be missed. So.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, you can replace. Yeah, I have a few. I have
easily,
lots of people lined up.
Easily replaced.
Yeah.
Well, the Packers were busy setting their final roster in the wake of the 17-7 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I think the thing that a lot of Packer fans are going to be talking about.
My donation of the week.
yes.
I want to go.
I'm sure that's what all Packer fans are talking about is the donation of the week.
Which is what the Packers donated to the Chicago Bears in cutting Josh Sitton.
Yeah.
I mean, of all the people that I think that were going to make it. I mean, I guess I would start with Rodgers to Matthews. But Sitton would have been in like the top five, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that was just – I mean, the guy's been a perennial Pro Bowl player, second team All-Pro. But here's something very instructive about the cutting of Josh Sitton. Now, one of the people who listens to our podcast is a Chicago Bears fan. I've talked about my friend Tom from Chicago, my connection for Milwaukee Brewers tickets, and also all things Apple, as it turns out. Anyway – he sent me a text yesterday, I think it was, and said, "So who is Josh Sitton? Is he any good?"
Really?
Yeah. I thought, well, boy, I guess when you're a Packers fan, you're living inside the bubble. A lot of us reacted like, "Oh my God, Josh Sitton!" But outside of the green and gold bubble, people don't really know who this guy is. And I told him, and he said, "Oh, well, gee, that sounds great," you know. But you wonder what was going on there. I mean, he's only 30 years old. He's had some back problems. Now, we don't see these guys practice. You know, we don't break down film the way the scouts do. We watch the games intently. But, you know, it's hard to know what they're seeing. You know, you're reading now, you know, Pete Doherty wrote today that scouts have seen a little slippage. You know, this is something that Vince Lombardi used to do when he saw a little bit of slippage. He would get rid of guys who were over 30 years old. Sitton lost a lot of weight in the offseason, 25, 30 pounds. He said it was, you know, for his wedding. And you wonder, you know, is he's probably a healthier human being 25 or 30 pounds lighter.
But we don't care about that.
No, but is he as effective as an offensive guard at 25 or 30 pounds lighter? And maybe they saw that, you know, he was still okay, but he wasn't all that. So, you know, it's difficult to know. Now, maybe they've got plans to do some early re-signings because, you know, Bakhtiari is going to be a free agent, much younger guy. Treader comes up in free agency. TJ Lang is a free agent. You know, maybe they thought, well, if we get rid of Sitton now, that gives us more money to play with if we want to do some early re-signings. I don't know what their thought process is, but it sure surprised the heck out of me.
Yeah, all they talked about was this offensive line had continuity, one of the best lines that they've had. Everybody's healthy, and they want to establish the running game, and you want to protect Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the line was solid. They were ready and in place. The thing that's really puzzling to me is they don't really have a backup plan that I can tell. I mean, they signed Lane Taylor, who I thought was in trouble of making the team. I thought they said he had a really poor camp.
He had a bad game now, against Kansas City, I thought.
Yeah, well, you know, you're right. I don't watch the line. You know, if I can tell if a tackle's getting beat. Sometimes on a replay, if you say, hey, where'd that defensive tackle, where did he come from? You could see it was a center or a guard who whiffed. But most of the time, you just don't see the blocking. You just see the running back get tackled for a two-yard loss. But, I don't know if Lane Taylor played poorly or not. I just heard that people have said that he had and that they really didn't have a great backup guard that maybe – Barkley would be your backup guard, or they talk about, you know, other people maybe coming in. But I never thought Sitton's job was in jeopardy at all. And then he gets signed by the Bears quickly.
Yeah.
You wonder, but you know, the one thing about a guard is that I don't think it doesn't feel like your team. I'm going to contradict myself probably as soon as I say this, but it's like your team doesn't get meaningfully better if you have a better guard. Like, you still need to have a running back that plays well. You need to have a quarterback, receivers. Like, if you have a terrible guard, that can hurt your team. If you have a slightly upgrade your guard, it doesn't feel like that's like, we got a new team, you know, it's a new life. Guards aren't quite as important as I think other positions, but I like the fact that they had this team, the line that played together, knew each other. I mean, isn't he in the movie with what's the movie that?
Oh,
in?
Yeah, singing Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Pitch Perfect 2. Yeah, yeah.
Or Pitch. Yes, it's more horrifying than Pitch Perfect 1. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen either?
No, I think they're like the Saw movies, though, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I guess I haven't seen it.
Okay. But and I even thought he's usually on talk radio here. Locally, if I was in Wisconsin, but doesn't he
right.
do a call-in show with one of the local radio stations?
I'm not sure if it's call-in, but he's a frequent guest on one of the Milwaukee radio stations. Yeah.
So I mean, he's kind of a fixture here of a good guy. I mean, whenever he talked, he's never been a real jerk.
He's thoughtful. Got a great beard.
Yeah, yeah. But you wonder, it's a combination of his skill decline. Was he kind of a jerk in the locker room, and was he too expensive, or is it a combination of those three? Because certainly he was going to be a highly paid guy this year. The slippage I had not seen. I just saw that Eddie Lacy was running really well with the first team. So I don't know what's going on with the slippage. But then I just read the other day that there was something that he was that maybe he wasn't getting along with management or something like that. Did you read anything about that?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. And it was one of those things where I don't know if it was, you know, insubordination or anything like that, but it was, you know, a guy who's been there a long time, who's, you know, proven himself, earned his bones, as they might say in the mafia, and, you know, more freely speaking his mind. I think he was a leader of the offensive line, and I think the fact that there may have been either a plateauing or maybe even the smallest of declines in his performance, Doherty seems to think this was an opportunity for them to not only do something before his performance totally fell off, but here's a chance to make a statement to the other guys on the offensive line and elsewhere that, you know, nobody's job is totally secure, and you really have to produce if you want to stay around here. Now, of course, maybe the message they're getting instead is, well, great, you know, you can cut us and we'll wind up getting a $10 million guarantee and a 3-year contract somewhere else.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm not sure what, you know, what the lesson is that they're really going to be getting from this. But to me, at the moment I heard about this, I was absolutely flabbergasted. I just never saw this coming. Now, the more I thought about it, the more things that I've read, it doesn't sound as outrageous as it did at the moment that I saw it. And a lot of the problem is, you know, we're fans. We don't know what goes on inside the locker room, inside the front office, what kind of planning they're doing, what they're seeing, what their scouts are seeing. You know, we do know that Sitton missed a lot of practice time because of his back. He said he was feeling great this year, maybe because he lost the weight. But all kidding aside, I don't know that a lighter offensive guard is necessarily a better performing offensive guard. And maybe that was a concern for them as well. So I guess I'm not as outraged, I guess you might say, as I was when I heard about this initially. Of course, I took the Bradford trade to the Vikings. I was one of the few people that didn't think that was crazy, so maybe my perceptions aren't 100% online here. But while I was shocked at the beginning, I got over that and thinking that now, okay, maybe this was maybe a smart move long term. Will it help them short term? I'm a little dubious having Lane Taylor, and I believe that's the guy who's going to be the initial replacement for Sitton. I'm a little dubious about how that's going to work out based on how his preseason went. But they didn't give him a $600,000 signing bonus probably just to sit on the bench. And so maybe he's a bridge to whatever it is they wind up doing long term. I don't know why they thought Sitton had to go right now, though, Dave. I figured that they wouldn't re-sign him next year, but I thought this year they would, you know, play out the string and then bid him farewell in the offseason. If they don't wind up, you know, going deep in the playoffs this year, this is one of those decisions I think people are going to point back to and wonder, you know, did you goof up the chemistry of the offensive line? Did you lower the production on the offensive line? This is a risky move. Now, on the other hand, if they win, it'll be the same thing with the Vikings. The Vikings give up a first and a fourth to get Sam Bradford, and people are just pillaring the Vikings. Well, if they win the Super Bowl, no one's going to care. It's the same thing. You cut Josh Sitton, but if you win the Super Bowl or even make it to the Super Bowl, probably no one is second-guessing you at all.
But, man, I really am questioning the decision-making for this because I'm looking at the depth chart. I've got left guard, your starter is Lane Taylor.
Right.
Behind him, this depth chart shows nobody.
Yeah.
Your center starter is J.C. Treader. Behind him is nobody.
Right. Now, it would probably be Don Barkley. Yeah, I think they said actually Barkley is the backup for all three interior positions. So he's probably the backup for Lane Taylor, too.
He probably is. But right now this says nobody. And they have the other center who's hurt.
He's going to start the season on PUP, which means he has to miss the first 6 weeks of the season before he can even come back.
So then you have right guard. You've got T.J. Lang. They have Don Barkley as his backup.
Yeah, I think he backs up all three of those positions.
So, and then you've got Bakhtiari and Bulaga, and then behind them is Spriggs, who people seem to be fairly impressed with.
Yeah, he's going
to
back up both tackle positions.
And Kyle Murphy, who
looked terrible.
He looked really bad.
The turnstile,
yes. He's Tony Mandridge, but without a story. maybe he gets better. Obviously, he's just started. He's super young. Yeah. And now they've talked about maybe they're going to push Bulaga inside as a guard and then have Spriggs be your right tackle.
Yeah.
So you're going to start your Super Bowl run with a rookie right tackle. Why would you do that?
I think at this point, I think they're going to start out by having as little disruption as possible and go with Lane Taylor. Now, I say little disruption as possible in quotation marks because when you're losing Josh Sitton, who I think is the leader of that offensive line, and he's a highly decorated guy, you're not really replacing him. You are putting another body in that place. If that doesn't work, then I think they probably have to look at either going with Don Barkley or with, you know, moving Bulaga inside. But again, if you got rid of Sitton and you moved Bulaga and you put the rookie in, that's a lot of messing around. So I think they're going to try to, you know, go a one-for-one plug and play and see how that works. And if, you know, Rodgers winds up, you know, running for his life, then they'll probably make some adjustments. But to do it at this point, see, what really mystifies
so strange.
Me. Yeah, the last cut. I mean, if you knew this was going to happen, I mean, maybe they thought, well, we'll take a look at him in training camp and decide. You know, maybe they thought this might be a possibility. But if you're going to do this, why not do it earlier, you know, before the season began?
Or trade him.
I think they did try to trade him, and no one was taking him. And is that because the word around the league is that, you know, he's lost a little bit? Or is that because people thought, well, we don't have to, you know, if they're going to cut him, we don't have to trade for him. We'll just make a claim on waivers. That's a risky strategy because, you know, then you're competing against 31 other teams instead of just getting, you know, the right to get this guy.
Right.
So apparently the fact that they couldn't trade him maybe is an indication that people, you know, weren't as high on Josh Sitton as people inside the green and gold bubble were.
Well, I certainly thought that his meter is running down because it felt like he was always having back problems. You think, man, he's a guard in the trenches and he's got back problems.
That's bad.
That can't last very long, right?
Right.
So if this is a bigger issue than we realize, that he's okay, but I mean his back is really giving him trouble. Or I suppose maybe he came back with, like you say, he was 25 pounds lighter, and they said, what is this? Like, you had no permission to do that. And, you know, they're upset about that. And, I thought what is probably very likely is they try to restructure his contract. He said no. And then, I don't know, do you think they could have gotten proud and just said, then you're gone?
You know, I read that someplace. I don't know if that was Doherty's article or where, but someone else had suggested that as a possibility that they would have kept him had he been willing to, you know, play for less money. When he was unwilling and no one wanted to take him in trade, they just let him go. And, you know, that maybe was the case too, that, you know, he was going to be proud. And if that really was true, then good on him, because he got a $10 million guarantee from the Bears, which was $4 million more than what he was going to make this year in Green Bay. So if he only winds up playing one more year, and it's in Chicago, you know, he's going to make $10 million instead of making $5.9 million. So good for him. I think it was a smart business decision on Sitton's part. And, you know, it may be for the Packers too. I mean, maybe this is, in the long run, going to be better for them. It's this season that seems to be setting up pretty well. I mean, they got through the preseason with minimal disruption. Their schedule appears to be favorable at this point. Why would you go at the 11th hour and, you know, lose one of your name brand cornerstone kind of players? I mean, it just the timing on it just seems so off to me. And the move may not be bad, but the timing of it just didn't seem right.
No, it certainly doesn't. They're carrying 8 offensive linemen. That seems light, right? After all the injuries they had last year. It's not like T.J. Lang is a pillar of health all the time, and Bakhtiari's gotten hurt quite a bit. Bulaga, he always gets hurt. So behind those guys, you've got very little. What do you go to the street after you get a couple injuries on that line?
Well, they've got practice squad guys. I mean, that's, you know, kind of how this game goes. And they've set their practice squad. They've got two guards. Yeah, Blake Murr, which sounds like a private eye, and Lucas Patrick, which you never trust a guy with two first names. I mean, just
well, but they liked him though, right? I thought they liked.
Well,
Lucas,
he's a dookie.
Patrick.
Of course, they liked him. He probably has a high ACT score. You know.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. It seems strange to me. It feels like you're disrupting the locker room potentially. I thought he was friends with Rodgers.
Oh yeah, he was friends with Rodgers and best buddies with T.J. Lang.
Yeah, I don't understand. I thought that offensive line, when you get good, you sort of have an identity as a group, and I thought they had that. They've been together.
Yeah,
now
they sleep in the same bed on the road. They all 5 of them sleep in the same bed.
They do head to toe?
Exactly.
They all kind of every other?
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's the kind of insight you don't usually hear.
No, you only get that on Packers Therapy, and if you want that kind of insight, you go to PayPal, PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, boom. And it keeps coming.
Keeps coming.
Exactly.
Keeps coming.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I think this is going to be a lose-lose situation. I think we're going to suffer through that trying to get a guard to play well. And I bet you the Bears don't get the better end of the deal either. I bet you he gets hurt in Chicago, because it seems like when you're losing, you end up getting hurt, you know, more. And so I could see him easily getting hurt early in the season, which for us we'll say, ah, good, we got rid of Sitton. But I think if he was on our team and we're running our plays, and I bet you he may or may not get hurt. Now, if we find out he's got a chronic back problem, his thing was just ready to go, then, you know, then maybe it looks like a good deal. It seems strange. Why would Thompson do this? I mean, he doesn't want to make me mad, right? I mean, he is trying to make these guys win, right? But it sure seems like sometimes he just does things to make me mad. I don't know. It seems just strange to me.
What this felt like to me was, you know, that Ted told Elliot, well, all right, you know, if you run the show here, Elliot, what would you do? Because it doesn't feel like a Ted move to me, you know? And Elliot Wolf, the little bit that I know of the guy, he seems to be a more aggressive kind of guy. And it seems out of character for Ted to do this. So I'm wondering if, you know, if they aren't letting some other people's voices become a little bit louder, as, you know, Ted has talked about retirement, and, you know, they've talked about giving more responsibility to other guys, and Elliot Wolf is a successor. You wonder what kind of voices are louder now. I mean, this doesn't seem like a McCarthy thing. I don't think he would want that necessarily to happen. It just seems out of character. They typically, I think, you know, hang on to people about the right length of time. I mean, they went a little long, I thought, on Donald Driver. They went a little short on Charles Woodson. You know, so generally speaking, though, they kind of get the timing right. This one seemed like it was a year early, but, you know, the old cliche is you'd rather make the decision a year early than a year late. And maybe this is one of those.
I think something happened, Chris. I think something last week happened. Either they're negotiating and something was said or something was done. Because didn't the Packers not come out and do a press conference after the cuts?
They did not.
Or at least,
well, McCarthy talked today.
He did, okay.
But they didn't do a
Ted Thompson never spoke.
Right. He had a news release, and, you know, it was – I don't know if you saw the release, but it read – we want to thank Josh for his contributions to the team. And it's like, really? That's it? You know, there was really no – it was very pro forma and perfunctory. And
yeah.
That kind of surprised me that there wouldn't be, you know, more passion, you know, associated with that. It was very corporate.
Yeah. Well, he's your deadly assassin.
He is. Right? Steely-eyed assassin.
He's steely-eyed assassin, yeah. Yes. He got Josh sitting right between the eyes.
Also a mouth breather. I mean, I was disturbed watching him on the sidelines during the Kansas City game. And, you know, Jason Wilde, a few weeks ago, and I thought he was kidding, maybe he was serious, was, you know, saying that Ted doesn't seem all there, and he was wondering if he took too many hits in the head when he was playing for the Oilers back in the day.
He's always looked that way. When does he ever look like he...
I'm not sure why Wilde got loose with that, you know? What? I mean, that was just a crazy thing to say. And then, you know, he's on the sideline, and my son thought, well, he's probably, you know, deep in thought and analyzing. But he looked a little bit like he should have been... In that press box with Chris Christie and Dallas ownership a few years ago when I thought Chris Christie was a Make-A-Wish kid that was up in the Cowboys box. Anyway, Ted did not look like he was altogether there. He looked like a mouth breather, and that was disturbing to me. And suddenly the Wilde comments, I thought, well, gee, maybe there was something to that. Sure as heck hope not, because for all the jokes about Ted that are out there, I think he's a good human being. I think he's a kind of a centered guy, and I think his values are good. I don't think he's mean spirited or anything like that. I certainly hope there's anything wrong with the guy, you know.
Well, I was going to say that's first we have to figure out is he a human being, and I think once that's a given, then we can kind of decide if he's a good or a bad human being. I certainly think he lives and breathes football. Yes.
But he lives and breathes it
with his mouth.
Problem, yeah.
yeah, I don't know. Talk about guys I wouldn't want to have dinner with. That is one guy I would just not be interested in talking to at all.
What do you think if you went out to dinner with Ted Thompson, where do you think you'd go? What do you think would the menu? I mean, what would that be like?
This is
podcasting gold, by the way.
Yeah, where would I take Ted Thompson to dinner?
Yeah, well, what do you think he would want to go? He'd say, hey, Dave.
I bet he'd be a barbecue guy.
Boathouse. I mean,
I'd take him to a barbecue here in St. Louis, and I'd try to get him tipsy on a few beers and see if he'd loosen up.
I think he's a cool
and tell some stories.
I don't think he's having any alcoholic beverages. I think he was a dry county boy.
Yeah, I think he might. Maybe I'd take him to the garage and pour gasoline in him because he might be a robot. He might eat metal.
I don't know.
But anyway, so that's the guard situation. What do you want to do about the rest of these positions?
Before we leave that, I want to invite people. This is our question. This is the question of the week, Dave. If you were to go out to dinner with Ted Thompson, and I want to hear from people. You can write us PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. Or you can go to Twitter. We're at Packers Therapy on Twitter. Where would you go? What do you think would be on the menu? And just what the heck you think that dinner would be like? Would you sit in silence for 45 minutes? Would you like do Bible verses? I mean, what would you do when you were out on a date with Ted Thompson? Where would you go? What would you have on the menu? And then the rest of the roster you want to talk about, which I think is far less interesting, of course, than talking about Ted Thompson's dinner.
Going on a date with Ted Thompson?
Yeah, that's kind of...
What a strange thing to talk about.
Let's start with Jacob Schum,
yes.
Punter. I got to say, when I heard that they let Tim Mastey go.
Another weird situation.
I thought, really? I mean, not that Mastey was a world beater, but you knew what you were getting. He's a good holder, you know, I mean, and that's really important when it comes to putting points on the board. And now at the 11th hour, you're going to bring in some guy who punted last year for Tampa Bay and was less than impressive. I mean, his numbers were in the bottom third of the league, and it seemed like it was a downgrade. Well, he comes out against Kansas City. He punts, what, 7-8 times and does a tremendous job, great hang time, distance. And suddenly that was looking real good, and I thought, well, if he's this good, then why did he get released? Why was he on the market? I mean, was it like a baseball player that he suddenly has found his groove and now it's all good? And I was really surprised to see, A, Mastey being released, and B, that this guy came out and just kicked great right out of the box. I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised, but surprised nonetheless. What was your take on that?
I don't know what to think of it. I saw Mastey was cut. I kept arguing with the person who told me. I said, no, the other guy got cut. He said, no, Mastey got cut. And we must have went back and forth for like a half hour. And finally I looked it up and I thought, oh, yeah, Mastey's cut.
And you apologized to this guy, I hope.
No, I didn't. Then I went back. We did it for another half hour. It's just so fun to do. I watch this guy get all angry.
It's good. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is good. he came out and punted really well. I was thinking if they had two guys that I thought were, I suppose, average. I don't think either of them were terrible. Mastey, I don't think ever – he had bad kicks, but I don't think he was – his whole body of work was he was just a horrible punter. I never felt that. And the rookie, it just felt like such a feel-good story.
Yeah.
It made me a little nervous to have this guy be our starting punter. So this guy comes in, and, he actually looked pretty good. I don't know why people can't just kick and have it drop around the 10-yard line, how hard that is in the first place. But he seemed to do that fairly regularly. He had one that literally, like, stopped on the goal line. Thought that was pretty cool. So you wonder what the story is. Did he, over the offseason, really work out in Tampa, just like, no, we don't want you anymore, and Ted – was onto it from the beginning, or a scout told him, I got a guy here who's really turned his life around. You know, you wonder if maybe it was he was on weed, he had family issues, and something happened, he changed his life, and a scout, you know, said, you should really take a look at this punter. You know, you wonder how much of that goes on behind the scenes. Well, we may never know until we read a book someday. But
Ted might have scoped him out from the sniper's nest.
He might have. Yeah. As he was training his scope on Mastey, he's like, oh, who's that guy?
Bang.
I'll get him. I'll take this guy out. Yeah, that's something like that must have happened. So what we know so far, he looks like he's their starting punter.
Yeah, so far so good.
And he's started before, which I think is better than the guy from Green Bay who's still got Clay Matthews up on his wall. As much as I think that would be a cool story. I just don't know if I want him starting against Jacksonville.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, if people want to check it out, our buddy Jersey Al posted a YouTube clip of Jacob Shum punting. It's like a four-minute thing, and it's a stationary camera behind him. He's at some practice field. Looked like it might have been Florida or someplace. And he is just, you know, dropping balls inside the five-yard line from – you know, 45 yards away. Now, granted, there's no rush on him. You know, it's just him kicking shirtless, I might add, and doing a heck of a job, you know, placing the ball. So maybe that's common. I mean, maybe all NFL kickers, when they are there with a bag of balls, and they can routinely do that. But, you know, the thing shows the yardage, amount of hang time, and where it landed. And, you know, he had a couple went in the end zone, but generally speaking, the guy was dropping it right down there. So looks like he's a real deal when there's, nobody rushing him and he can be in the warm weather, you know, with his shirt off, just kicking away. So,
well, it sounds perfect for Green Bay.
Yeah, it does. I feel like that in December, which is why I won't be there on December 4th. I can promise you that.
That's right.
So
that's
Sam Barrington also was shown the door, and he's now, like all former Packers, you either wind up where? Seattle, Oakland, or Kansas City? Is that where former Packers all go now?
Well, certainly Kansas City. I kept one guy after another. I felt like he was a Packer. He was a Packer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kansas City was – I never thought about that. But, yeah, there's – plus, is it John Dorsey?
It's John Dorsey's their general manager, right?
Yeah, so he was with Sherman?
Well, Mike Sherman. I think he was before that. I mean, I don't know if you remember when he played for the Packers, right, back in the 80s. And then he joined as a scout. And I want to say he kind of came up through the ranks through Wolf. And he was there, you know, through Sherman. But he was like a long time, like a 20-plus year between being a player and a scout for the team. And then he got his chance in Kansas City, and now he's taken all of Ted's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, well, more power to him. Kansas City's second and third team was better than ours.
Right.
And, you know, I will just say this about the game. Well, I have two observations about the game. Then we should take a break.
Oh, yes.
The first observation is that if you're going to watch a preseason game, especially the fourth preseason game, don't watch it from the other team's feed. Which is what I had to endure.
Down in Missouri, yes, indeed.
Well, no, actually it was on NFL.com.
Okay.
The feed that I got through there was the Kansas City. And you would have thought that there was never a Packer on that sideline. They never once showed McCarthy. I think they may have shown Rodgers once. But then, but that was it. It was all Chiefs all the time. Which, you know, this is hometown stuff. And I guess it's real Homer when you see the Packer preseason games too, right? They're always interviewing the Packers on the sidelines, and they're always showing McCarthy and all that. But, man, it's unbearable when you're on the other team watching from that side. But the other thing was I thought our team was so talented that our twos and threes were better than any other team's twos and threes. And not Kansas City, apparently. I don't know if it was our quarterback who, you know, He made the team.
He made the team, yeah.
And we'll have to talk about that. Or if it was our defense or what it was, but their twos and threes were better than our twos and threes. And I was just surprised by that. Did you – I don't know if that means anything. I mean, maybe New England's twos and threes are, you know, horrible, but their ones are so good they're going to be back in the Super Bowl.
Well, the reason it didn't bother me this time, Dave, is because the three previous games, I thought our second and third teams were better than the competition. So, you know,
I don't think Kansas City was that good.
KC's got a really good, you know, backup group. But Packers' backups seem to be better this year than they have been in quite some time.
At least they were better than Oakland.
Yeah, right.
Cleveland and San Francisco, which are three teams that I would think are at the bottom end of the league. Maybe
Oakland should be okay, I would think.
Oakland's better. I don't know, maybe. But,
I would think that Sam Barrington being cut was a little bit of a surprise. The fact he only kept three inside linebackers was more of a surprise. Besides cutting Barrington, who went to KC then, they also cut and put onto the practice squad Carl Bradford, who I thought had a very good preseason. But it might have been a numbers game in the fact that they're only keeping three inside so that they can keep extra, you know, at defensive back. They kept a lot of those. They kept, I think, an extra line or outside linebacker as well. So it may have been a numbers game, but both Bradford and who are we talking about here?
Barrington.
Yeah. The B-boys, yeah. Both let go. So that was a bit of a surprise for me.
Well, what's going to – Blake Martinez is going to start? For the Packers.
It looked like Blake Martinez and Ryan.
Ryan, yeah. Unless they have Joe Thomas, who they thought
he might be their third down guy or something like that.
Joe Thomas,
yeah, because he's put on 10 pounds and he hits a little harder now, so he'll be able to hold up better. But that's it. You know, you got three guys, and then I suppose at that point, then if you need somebody else, I guess Clay Matthews moves back inside.
Yeah, that'd be a shame. I thought the way he was playing outside. He can play inside certainly very well, but he's so much better on the outside, I think. And, there's so many questions I have here, Chris, of what they're doing. I think they had such a solid team, and there was just a few decisions on the edges to just don't make any mistakes. And I feel like they made some real reaches here from what – but what do I know? I'm watching NFL.com games and reading the paper. But I don't know. It seems curious to me.
Well,
you're
upset about Lovato getting cut and the re-signing of Brett Goode.
No, I like Brent Goode. I like the. I'd rather say Goode than Lovato any day.
He's Goode by me.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, I think we should take a break. And we also have – well, let's do the thank yous, the giving thank yous at the end of the program, not right now as we initially had thought we were going to do it. We're going to talk more about the Packers roster. They acquired a player that the Vikings had let go, who looks kind of exciting. I mean, there's a number of things yet to be talked about as we head away from the preseason into – the regular season. Packers go 3-1 in the preseason, getting ready for Jacksonville on September 11. We'll be back to talk more about that game upcoming and also about the Packer roster moves on Packers Therapy right after this break. Chris and Dave on Packers Therapy. I'm getting the feeling, Dave, because we are two-thirds of the way to Packers football in person. We should probably thank the people that have been good enough this past week to send us a little bit of money, helping us along the way to where we are now. We're very grateful for those of you that have decided to send us a couple of bucks. You don't have to do it. The podcast is free, but a lot of people have been very kind, and you've got a list of names there of people that have been good enough to offer a couple of bucks via PayPal for Packers Therapy. So who do we have there, Dave?
Yes, thank you to Laura Mao.
A woman.
A woman. She said she's sure she's one of many female listeners that have given, and many they're about to come, I think. But so far, Laura, you are the first. Stop it.
Okay.
Charles Pistula, or Chucky P, I think
he's called. Oh, yeah, he is our man. He was our man in Paris for a while. Now he's our man on the East Coast.
So he is given a very generous gift. John Sturrock.
One of our original listeners.
He might have been the one who gave us our very first email way back in the day, and he thanked us for 12 years of entertainment. I think that's right. I think he goes all the way.
John in Scotland.
Yeah. That's right.
Or from Scotland, but I think he lives in England now.
Carl Bennett with an interesting donation of he added 34 cents on the back of his, which he said, enjoy the lattes. So maybe the amount here was intended for us to go have a couple lattes.
Well,
which
maybe
is,
he's a fan of Edgar Bennett.
That could be. You're right. Tom Freeman, who says he get very nice note. He says, regardless of the size of my contribution, I consider myself one of your biggest fans. I thought that's very, very nice.
Now, he's got a blog. We should probably talk about that, right? It's West Coast Offense, I believe, is his blog.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he's been doing that blog for a long time. He's I believe he might be retired now from his legal practice out in the Bay Area. But he does a blog, I believe it's Packers Focus, called West Coast Offense. So what I want to say it is. And Tom goes way back, I want to say 10 or 15 years ago, to the Packer Yahoo discussion groups.
Right.
Tom has been a very good friend via the internet for a long time, and very glad he's listening to us now.
Big thank you. Big thank you to Kevin Becker, who said happy birthday to my twin brothers, which would be odd because you're much older than I am.
An entire decade, as a matter of fact.
You are. And Ken with a very generous gift.
Thank you.
Paul Ottens, again, another very, very generous gift. He said, love the show. Keep up the good work, which I think he meant that for us. unless he wrote the PayPal address incorrectly, but he thinks we're doing good work. And last but not least is Richard Duren.
Oh, yes.
Duren, who very nice gift. He said that he's going to his first Packer game this year. They live in Michigan. They're going to go see when the Packers play against the Lions, which is very, very cool. So,
and Richard has an email that we're going to read parts of later on in the podcast as well. Very, very humorous as well. So, Richard, thank you for that.
I think that's everybody. I'm very sorry if I'm missing anyone. I'm trying to keep track of this, and PayPal does a good job of doing that, but it's very possible that I could miss something. So I have it all down. I'll make sure it adds all up. And if you will be getting a super secret podcast in the future, and something to look forward to. So thanks again. What we said, we're two-thirds of the way there, and September 24th is now looking like our date. The clock is ticking.
PayPal, and it's PackersTherapy@yahoo.com. And use the friends option. And we do appreciate it. So let's talk a little more about the roster situation. Jarrell Presley, have you seen any of the highlights on this guy? The Packers claimed him off of waivers from the Vikings. When they got him, they said goodbye to Brandon Burks, who didn't even wind up on the practice squad, by the way. He's a guy that went from making the 53 to being outside entirely. Jarrell Presley looks like that third down kind of back. The highlights I, you know, saw, he was kind of in space and moving really quickly on the periphery. I don't know what he's like when he's getting the ball under his arm in a handoff, but he looked great in space. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. If he's gonna be the guy that they call on third downs, is he gonna do some kick returning? He looked, you know, elusive. The kind of guy the Packers really haven't had, this sort of player, maybe going back to Tony Fisher.
I hope so. I have not looked at it, his highlights. I heard his average was something like 2 to 3 yards a carry, so it was nothing special. But they said his last game, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown and then took a screen for a touchdown, I guess. Was that
it was the,
what
it
I
was
heard?
The screen pass I saw off the touchdown. It was a very impressive run.
Yeah, maybe it was just a long kickoff return, but I hope it's what you say. It's a guy that's really fast. I did see his 40 time was under 4.4. I thought it was 4.3 something. I thought, yeah, this guy's like super fast, which is not what Eddie Lacy is or James Starks. So to have a guy that's a bit different, that could be very, very good. So let's hope that of all the moves they made, this one is one we'll be talking about and not the sitting one.
Well, they had to make a corresponding roster move. So Burks was released when they re-signed Brett Goode, whose knee injury apparently has healed in only, 9 months, I guess, since he had that surgery. So Lovato was let go. And they also wound up having to let go of let go of Dorlant, but they put him on injured reserve. The cornerback Mattington Dorlant wound up on injured reserve. So this is the way it sort of breaks down then for the Packers. Kennard Backman, I wasn't aware he was injured. He wound up on injured reserve, as did John Crockett. I mentioned Dorlant, Jacob Flores, a center. From Dartmouth, I guess if it doesn't, you know, work out for him, he can always go to work on Wall Street. Tyler Cooter, now, he was a guy, saw quite a bit of him in the game. I was surprised to see him on injured reserve. He didn't appear hurt, but okay. You're hurt.
Exactly.
Isn't your hand throbbing right now? Okay, you're yeah.
Put it on the table, hammer it on.
Exactly, yeah. Now it hurts. Josh Walker, who's been on the team now a couple of years, he wound up on injured reserve, as did Kyle Stuck. Also, he's another guy, I want to say a local guy from Green Bay as well. He's a center. So those are the guys who wound up on injured reserve. Practice squad, they filled it out. They now have all 10. Geronimo Allison, I was glad to see that he made it through waivers. He is on the Packers practice squad now, the wide receiver. Carl Bradford, we mentioned before. Benique Brown. Reggie Gilbert, or Gilbert, for those who want to go that way. I don't know who Don Jackson. That's a new one that I don't recall in the preseason. I think they might have picked him up from someplace else. But they went with him on the practice squad instead of Burks, which was a little bit of a surprise for me. We mentioned that the two guards that they're keeping, Blake Murr and Lucas Patrick. Brian Price, defensive lineman, looked kind of interesting, the guy from Texas San Antonio. I thought that was good that he made it through to the practice squad. Also, Herb Waters, another wide receiver, didn't play for the Packers in the preseason. I think they got him from somewhere else. And Jermaine
his
White. I'm sorry?
His name's got to be running. Herb Running Waters.
I would hope so.
Yeah. As a wide receiver, come on.
And Jermaine Whitehead, another one of the many deep safeties. I mean, they had a lot of safeties they wound up keeping, including Bryce and Evans were two of the guys that made the 53, and they kept more safeties than I recall them ever keeping. They really liked the guys they have, I guess. So they are deep at a position now where just, two or three years ago, they didn't seem to have anybody that was halfway decent. So that's become a position of strength for the Packers. Two guys wind up on the reserve suspension list. That's Goodson and Pinnell. I think we'll see Pinnell probably back. But I don't know if we'll see Dmitri Goodson again. He didn't really show a lot, so I'm not sure if he's going to come back after his suspension or not. And we mentioned earlier that Corey Linsley, who has been to this point the starting center, still on the physically unable to perform list with a hamstring injury that he sustained, I want to say, in May and then aggravated it in July. So it must be a very serious injury. He'll probably need all of that 6 weeks that he's required to take, and I'm not even sure we'll see him at all this year because it seems like a really, you know, kind of muscle off the bone kind of injury. We'll have to wait and see on that one. So were you surprised, Dave, that Joe Callahan made it through to the final 53? Do you think it was really worth a roster spot for a guy who will not be active on game day?
You mean could they have freed up that spot to carry
to keep somebody else? Yeah.
Keep a 13th defensive back because they have 12 defensive backs on this team. I don't know what the normal number is, and I know it's a passing league, but I'm looking at these other positions, defensive line, linebackers, and it seems light to me, but they have a lot of defensive backs. Anyway, but Joe Callahan, I was surprised because after watching the Kansas City game, I realized that every team has a young quarterback that they're excited about. In fact, Kansas City, I thought, based on that was one thing watching their feed, you could hear what they were talking about. They had like two or three guys that they were like very excited about, and or maybe it's just they had two that they thought had a really bright future, and they're looking forward to watching them play. And I watched them play, and I thought, I don't know if those guys are any better or worse than Joe Callahan. Certainly no one in Kansas City is saying, you know, boy, if that Joe Callahan, if they drop him, we're going to get him. You know, I think that's, again, that green and gold bubble that we live in, thinking that we found a real gem. And, you know, every team has a guy like that. So I was surprised. I thought they'd keep two because you're right. He's a guy that's going to take a spot and will not play. Or if he does play, the season's over.
Yeah.
So I was surprised. They must think that Brett Hundley is you know, is not ready to go soon, or maybe that's an injury that could keep coming back. Because he's injured it twice now, right?
Correct.
I mean, what if it
his ankle,
could easily maybe a third time. So you need a backup for him. I mean, certainly if you're not going to have Josh Sitton blocking for you, you're probably going to need another quarterback, right?
Well, you know, one of the theories I heard, and it made some sense to me, is that Brent Huntley is not going to be on this team long. He's apparently highly thought of around the league based on the tape that he had last year and even the little bit that he played against the Raiders. I mean, this is a guy that I think can play in this league, and he's going to be probably someone the Packers can flip for a draft choice as early as next season. So you're going to need a backup, and I don't think anybody believes that Joe Callahan's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he could be kind of that Matt Flynn, you know, sort of guy where he could come in and be competent for you, you know, maybe help you get through a game or two, maybe even win a game for you on a short-term basis. So he might be the backup quarterback of the future because I don't think the Brett Hundley thing is going to be sustainable long-term. I think he's too valuable in terms of what they can flip him for, and he might be able to get a second or a third-round pick for Hundley, something like that. So that would be a good return on that investment. I think the biggest frustration, though, is that he didn't play much this preseason to really kind of solidify his value. And so still wouldn't surprise me, though, next season to see him be an August trade when rosters are being set and he gets a chance to show what he can do. And the teams that are a little short at quarterback, you know, they would make a move for him at that point. But then again, you're going to need somebody, you know, who's been kind of trained in the system and can sit behind Aaron Rodgers. And Joe Callahan might be that kind of guy, you know, never going to start, but probably competent enough to get you through a few games.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I wonder if this will probably jinx everything, but I wonder if we are up so big. You know, remember those years in 2011 where we were up so much that Matt Flynn would come in and play, like the fourth quarter? Yeah. I wonder if Brett Hundley will come in and play if we're up on teams a lot, and if he'll play hard, you know, to show what he didn't show in the preseason. increase his trade value. I wonder if that'll happen. You know, one position I was surprised with, or was really interested in, was their wide receiver and what they were going to do there. And they kept Jeff Janis, which when I was looking at that group, after the game in Kansas City, I was thinking, you know, I would drop Davante Adams. I think you've seen enough of him, and I might eat my words. I hope I do through the season. But I thought, I think if you're going to do what they did with like a Josh Sitton, although Davante Adams isn't old, is go with Geronimo Allison and get rid of Davante and kind of go with the younger guy. But they kept him. They kept Janis. I didn't think they would keep I thought there's a good chance that Janis would be gone. But apparently they like him for special teams. It must be for that alone. Maybe they kept him. He hasn't played much any offense this preseason. So I was just surprised that he stayed on the team.
Well, what I'm thinking is that they're guys that they have, the depth they have, those guys aren't great. They're all kind of bunched together, and no one really stands out. But you've got a couple of, injury concerns. And, Janis has been a little bit injured. Abadaris has got a history of injury.
I thought he got hurt against Kansas City.
Well, it did look like it. It did. Trevor Davis has had injuries. So, you don't want to necessarily put all of your, eggs in a cracked basket here, because one of those guys is probably going to go down, and then you've gone from having too many to having the right amount, and that can happen pretty quickly.
Are you saying the basket is cracked or the eggs are cracked?
I think the basket is cracked.
Which could lead to cracked eggs.
Which could lead to vulnerabilities in your egg yolk situation.
Got it.
Okay,
all right.
Good. I'm glad. Go on. I'm glad I could break that down for you.
Never mind.
So I think I heard a really good comment about Davante Adams, which I haven't really wrapped my head fully around this, but it does make sense. And I think it was Gary Ellerson that mentioned this on one of the podcasts from the Milwaukee station, The Fan. And he said, if you think of Davante Adams and you think of him as a starter, you're thinking about it all wrong. What he is a number three receiver, maybe a number four. And if you evaluate what he does on the basis of this guy is your three or your four, you look at him differently, that you probably see him in a more positive light because he's not a starting caliber wide receiver, but he's a guy who's going to play a lot as a three or a four. And if you look at him in that way as a third option, you might see him differently. You might see him really for who he is. He's not going to be the kind of guy, if someone gets hurt, he's going to step in and be a capable number two. We saw that last year. The other thing to keep in mind is that this is his third season, and guys like James Jones, who we now view, we kind of forget the first, season or two of some of these guys, and we think all, more about their more polished seasons. This might be a season where he emerges as a real solid number three guy. And so going into a third season, it's really probably too soon to cashier a number two round or a second round pick like Davante Adams. Now, we've been spoiled in Green Bay. We've had a lot of second round draft choice wide receivers that have done well. Jordy Nelson is one. Greg Jennings is one. These guys that have kind of, stepped up as second round picks. Really, though, those guys are second-round picks for a reason. Everyone passed on them for a reason, that they're probably good, but they're not great. And we've gotten used to those guys being maybe better, maybe being more like first-round talents. And Davante Adams probably isn't that. So if you view him as, on the standard of, you grade him on a spectrum of, he's a number three, number four guy, you might be very satisfied to have a player of that caliber there rather than thinking of him as a guy that's going to replace Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb.
Yeah. I think if he's a younger version of James Jones, the year they had Jennings and Driver and Nelson, James Jones had some very good games, huge catches for third downs. Mm-hmm. He was a great player to have, but he wasn't your star.
Exactly.
If Davante Adams can play that role, that's great. And I could see where they might keep him. They do throw him the ball quite a bit, though, and maybe it's because when he's playing with the twos and threes, he was the number one receiver on that offense. But he needs to step up. He can't just be decent at a lower role. I think whatever he is in, he needs to catch the ball, he needs to break tackles, he needs to, and he's got the ability to do that. I feel like he drops too many and makes kind of dumb mistakes, and we saw a lot of that last year. And you know, he's on the team, and I'm glad Geronimo Allison is on the practice squad. If something happens, you know, he'd come in, or you got another year to look at him. If he's a good, a big time talent, well, you know, probably. Maybe he'll make the team next year. So
yeah, I think that's the way to look at that. And I, you know, there's going to be injuries, and they have guys who are already shaky. So I think carrying that many probably made some sense. And on the defensive side, they kept a lot of safeties because I think that's where they and also cornerbacks too. I think nowadays when your base defense is your nickel and you play a lot of dime defense, you need a lot of defensive backs, and those guys also tend to be contributors on special teams. So yeah. It made some sense to do what they did. I don't really have any particular problem, you know, with that, because I think the talent they had there made sense to do that. And I had this suspicion. And maybe now, as we look forward to the schedule and our predictions for the season, I kind of got this feeling that, like last year, defense this year for this team is going to be more important than it has been in earlier parts of the Aaron Rodgers era. Not that I'm thinking that their offense is going to suck or anything. I think there's real potential with Cook, with having Jordy back, but there are enough question marks that I have, Dave, on the offense. You know, you are essentially kind of having a big shift on your offensive line. You're making some real changes there. How long is it going to take them to gel? How much are they going to miss Sitton? Or how long will it take them to adjust? Then you do have some injuries at wide receiver. Jordy Nelson did not play at all during the preseason. What's he going to be like after sitting out for a year? Can they rely on him, you know, to take even 40 snaps, you know, being a halftime guy the first couple of weeks? Will Rodgers have the timing down with him that they had previous to the injury? You know, we don't know that. You get beyond Jared Cook at tight end, you know, you really don't have much. You've got a thinner Richard Rodgers, which is good, and you've got Justin Perullo, who catches everything in his kind of his catch radius. But he's not, you know, very nifty getting downfield, and none of those guys are good blockers. You've got Eddie Lacy, you know, carrying the ball, maybe a little bit lighter. But, you know, I mean, he looked to be awful tuckered out even in those limited carries in preseason. So I'm not saying their offense is going to be as challenged as it was last year. I'm just not sure it's going to be the smooth-running machine that we had become accustomed to, you know, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. I think this might be different, and they might rely on their defense more. And so I think it was probably smart to load up the way they did on defensive players.
Yeah, I suppose so. As I was listening to you, I was trying to think, what is the key of the offense and running? And I wonder if it all comes back to Jordy Nelson. If he can come back and be a threat, The waterfall effect that makes Cobb better, which makes Adams in the right place. Right. The running game is now effective because people are worrying about the pass. If you have to watch him deep and he can kill you for 7 points at any time, well, then Cook is going to be wide open out of the middle. So all that will just work itself. But if Jordy is hurt again or he's not who he is, then the rest of the guys are still just kind of possession receivers. Mm-hmm. And everything kind of shifts up toward the line of scrimmage. And other than maybe Trevor Davis, you know, can that guy stretch the field a little bit? But, yeah, I think you're right. I think defense is going to have to win some games here this year. And I think the defense is better than last year. I think the offense is too, as we're starting. I think the addition of a tight end is a big, big deal, and Jordy getting back. Otherwise, it's more or less the same. Interested to see what this running back from Minnesota can do. But I think the defense is going to be better. I think Clinton Dix is ready to be better. I think the putting Matthews on the line outside is better. I think their inside linebackers should be better, but they weren't great last year. Hopefully their defensive line can kind of hold it together until they get guys back. So I think this team, and you know, the team doesn't play, you know, really, really tough teams for a while. So
Well, this is a good this is a good place to jump off, I think, and look at the schedule and our predictions for the year.
All right.
You know, because you made a point there. They don't play good teams for a while, and I'm not so sure about that.
All right, let's go through it.
The Jags, you know, first games
right away. Jaguars at the Jaguars. I mean, I think improving from how bad they've been in their franchise history to being actually a good team. Those are two different things. I feel like people give the Jaguars, the Raiders, too much credit to start because they're better, but it doesn't mean that they're good. I have a sense that you're going to think the Jaguars are better than they really are.
Well, my sense is that the Packers, because of the flux and the fact that they didn't play their main guys very much during the preseason, this is essentially going to be, I think, another practice game. But it's going to be a practice game that's on the road against a team that probably feels itself, you know, coming of age. They're going to be geeked up. I think the Packers will struggle against Jacksonville. I think they'll win, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. And I think the weather also might be a factor. And, you know, it's northern Florida, but it's Florida nonetheless. In mid-September, it could be a little hot, steamy, and sticky. I think that'll be a factor. And then you got the Vikings the second week, and they open up their new stadium. The Packers are the first team to play them for real in their new stadium, which I understand is every bit as loud as the Metrodome was, if not louder.
They only half Packer fans.
Well, hopefully.
And actually Jacksonville. Jacksonville will be half
Packer.
Yeah,
well, I think there'll probably be more Packer fans at the Jaguar game than the Viking game. And Viking fans are realizing after last year's winning the division that they, you know, are a legitimate team again, but they got a big loss. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater goes down, and then they, you know, basically drop their pants and bend over to get Bradford, which made sense if they think they have the talent to go to the Super Bowl. They need a quarterback, and that was probably not a stupid deal. I think that's going to be another tough game for the Packers, and given that it's the Vikings' first game, I think the Packers might lose that game.
All right, I'm going to say they win both those games.
All right.
And I think the game that we will hopefully go to, Lions, I got to win there. So I have them 3-0 at the break.
I will be fundamentally disappointed if they can't beat the Lions on the game that we hope to be there, assuming people go to PayPal and hit PackersTherapy@yahoo.com.
That's a revenge game for us.
It is.
They had,
that was bitter
Lions
last
had
year.
Won, yeah, Lions had won for 25 years. You, me, and Dr. Klaus go to that game, and they lose to the Lions.
Brutal.
We need some revenge, sweet justice. So I got 3-0 and a quick bye on week four.
It's hard to know if that's good or bad. Initially, I thought it was bad, but given the fact that they are – there's going to be, you know, flux on the offensive side of the ball. You know, you're still working Jordy into the mix. You're working in the new guard. I don't think it's as bad as I thought it was initially.
Yeah, I'm sure when it comes, like every year, it'll be the bye couldn't have come too soon. Right? That's always what they say. But, you know, speaking of Lions, I've not heard anything about the Lions, if they are step up, step down. I mean, last year they were okay.
Well, they lost their receiver. They're
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's a big
loss. But I understand that they are going to field the football team again this year and play a complete 16-game schedule.
Oh, well, then they have a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
You're saying they have a chance.
And I am indeed. Giants and Cowboys. Giants with the new coach, the coach used to be the Packers quarterbacks coach, an offensive coordinator for the Giants. You know what I'm talking about. I should look this up, but beforehand. But he's thought of as being quite a offensive mind. It'll be interesting to see what the Giants throw out there. I guess they're still going with Manning face at quarterback. I haven't really heard a lot of buzz around them, but they always seem to put out a competitive team. That will be a primetime game, an NBC game, 7:30. I'm not sure what to make of that one. Home game, you'd like to think that would be a Packers win.
Yeah, that's a Sunday night home game. The Packers play really well Sunday night home games. I don't know if the Giants are – again, I've not heard much about the talent that the Giants are bringing. But the problem is if I have them beating the Giants And then the Cowboys have lost Romo.
Yeah.
So they're going to be hurting for in their offense. So, and then I think the Packers definitely beat the Bears on the 20th. So then that's 6-0, and I'm starting to think, come on now, I can't.
No, you sure they're definitely going to beat the Bears?
I do. I think I'm talking to Bear fans in the office, and they think they're going to be terrible. So
yeah, but I don't know. They've done some shrewd roster building there. I know they still have Jay Cutler, but I think, you know, with Fox, he was better. I don't know. They beat the Packers at home last year.
Last year.
I don't.
So of those three home games, yeah. You think they win 2 out of 3?
Oh, yeah. I think so. No, I would have thought the Cowboys game was a loss for sure before Romo. Now I'm not really sure what we're going to see by that time from the Cowboys. And in fact, the further down we go on the schedule, I mean, you just don't know who's going to be playing well or how injuries are going to factor in to this
point.
You know, at the Falcons will be tough. There's no doubt about that. I mean, under any circumstances, it's a road game in a dome. I've never been a fan of this Matty Ice nonsense, but, you know, good enough probably that could be a loss.
Okay. I'll give you a loss on that one because they got to lose somewhere. Home against the Colts?
Yeah, Andrew Luck, pretty good team, good quarterback. That's your daughter's birthday, so you never know what's going to happen there, right?
That's true. I don't know why those are related.
Yeah,
but
I'm not sure why.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it because you robbed me of going to that game because of this weak, lame-ass daughter's birthday stuff. So,
yeah.
I would like to think that one is a win because it's a home game, but it's a quality quarterback. So, I'm not feeling 100% confident in that one. Then you have a three-game road trip. You start with the Titans, then the Redskins, and then the Eagles. Titans, probably a win. Redskins could be a loss. That's a night game on the road. And Eagles, I'm guessing that should be a win, even though they haven't played well in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't know about the Eagles. I'm going to say if they win 2 out of 3 on that one, I think it'd be pretty happy with that. I haven't followed the other teams that closely to know what is going on. Now, the Redskins made the playoffs. They lost to the Packers last year.
But they made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs. They're getting better. Eagles, I think Eagles could be a tough game. I'm going to say they win 2 out of 3. I think it would be the Eagles game would be maybe the toughest of the three. So let me give that one. So Texans?
Yeah, you know, they always have a good defense. A little shaky at quarterback, I guess. It's a home game. You'd like to put that one down as a win, even though I think they're going to be very much challenged. I'm not a believer in the Packer offense right now, and Texans with a great defense, J.J. Watt, of course. So I'd like to put that one down as a win, but the one against the Seahawks the following week, it's at home, which is a plus, but Seahawks are good. I think they have a real potential losing that one.
Okay, let's go split Texans and Seahawks. And, you know, the last three are against the North
They close
division.
Out against the division. They go to Chicago on the 18th of December. I'd like to see that one in the win column. But, you know, in December in Chicago, it seems like Packers have struggled. I mean, even in the NFC Championship game when they went to the Super Bowl in 2010, they won. But, man, that was a struggle. I can think of that game, too, with the horrible winds. Packers got blown out by the winds as much as anything else.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the game where I forgot who was punting, but the wind blew the ball before he could kick it and went off the side of his foot. And yeah, it was just a disaster. So December, middle December in Chicago, that one could go in the loss category.
And if they go through O'Hare,
they'll be late for the game. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they probably won't make it. Yeah, so Bears could win by forfeit.
Yeah,
if hopefully they'll fly through Midway. I think the Packers just win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, Vikings at home. I mean,
I think
it depends on what's on the line. I mean, the Vikings season could be in the toilet at that point, or it could be like last year, you know, where it came down to the last game. And then at the Lions, it's always been dicey playing on the road against the Lions, but who knows what's going to be at stake. I mean, if the Packers at that point are having the kind of season we think they're going to, they might not need a win at this point. They may rest their guys, and that may wind up being a loss just because they don't want to, you know, risk anybody in that game. So it sounds like, Dave, you're looking like a 13-3 kind of Packers season.
When I said 2 out of 3, three times.
That would be three losses, yeah.
I have a loss at Falcons, loss Seattle, and I've got two out of threes. So that's because the 3 and 4, and then I have them splitting with the Giants and Cowboys. So I have 11-5.
11-5.
And I would lean and push it up to 12-4 or 13-3 just because all the good teams they have, they seem to be at home. The away games are a little bit easier. They're playing people at the right times. There's a lot going for it. It's the offense. I'm going to be really interested against the Jaguars is how does this offense look? I'll be really scared if we go into halftime against Jacksonville and we're winning 7-3.
Yeah, right,
or,
yeah.
You know, 7-7 or something.
10-7, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that we're not moving the ball that right. well, but our defense is playing well. I feel like the whole season for me will start to, you know, this is going to be not the season I thought it was. And I don't know what it is that's going to be that. I mean, if Nelson comes out and he's not quick enough, so he's not a threat that you thought, and the line's getting pushed around. You know, I'm a little nervous about the offense. And I'll be really thankful and happy if they get out there and they drive. It's a run. Lacy's averaging 5 yards a carry. Cook is catching a bunch of passes. And, oh, look, Cobb got over the defense because they're so concerned about what's going on underneath. You know, then it's like, this is going to be great. So I am so anxious to see that first or second drive against Jacksonville and see what they have. Remember, McCarthy's now calling the plays from the beginning of the season, and that could have a big impact too. It might have been that he just never got into a rhythm, and now they have a new concept, and he's there. That could all be better too. So let's see. But I have them 11-5.
I have them at 11-5 too, but. I backed it back to 10-6. I think they'll be a playoff team, but I do think they're going to stumble out of the gate because they haven't played a lot of people during the preseason. I think it could take them a little time to kind of find their rhythm with the offensive line, working Jordy back, you know, because he hadn't played at all, and, you know, how they integrate Jared Cook. I'm not convinced the conditioning is going to be all there for Eddie Lacy. So I think they're going to struggle a little bit the first third of the season, and then I think they're going to find their rhythm and they're going to look more like the team we expect them to. But I've downgraded them. I think this Sitton situation is going to have a little legs at the beginning of the season when they're just trying to get their chemistry kind of stuff worked out. I think they're going to be okay, but I don't think they're going to be okay right out of the box. So if they have any problems, I think it's going to be you know, during their first, say, 4 or 5 games, they might wind up losing a game, maybe even 2 games in there that you would have thought they were going to win just because they aren't quite, you know, with it. Now, that could change. If the defense proves to continue to be better, like last year they were better than the year before, if they take another step, then, you know, maybe it won't matter how the offense does because they could win some games and steal some games on defense. I mean, heck, maybe they win 10-7 and win ugly against Jacksonville. Hey, that's still a win, right? And I would definitely take that. So I could be surprised if the defense is better than I expect it to be. Right now I'm expecting it to be pretty much like what we saw last year, which is good but not great.
Yeah, I love it that defense got a lot of interceptions. They didn't have a lot of turnovers that I thought changed the level of the game that I can remember at least.
Right.
You know, getting Jacksonville 7-7, and, you know, someone's got an interception and brought it down to the 5. You know, now we're in business. And, you know, that kind of stuff can really help when you're playing well. Good teams have that happen a lot. And I think the Packers just struggled to move down the field all season long last year. So let's hopefully start with the win at Jacksonville. They should win that game. I don't know if they're favored or not. Do you know the spread in that game?
I have not seen that yet, but it's got to be coming out soon, I would suppose, right? The game is this weekend.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at it.
We also have to do some betting lines then, don't we?
We do. Oh, you know what? I'm not prepared for
You're not prepared for – well, you can make them up. Come on.
I was looking at the betting lines.
We know what they are. They're always kind of the same. We can do these betting lines. In fact, I can even help you.
I can pull it together. I'm just looking at that. So I have no idea if this site's legit.
Well,
this is predicted score: Green Bay 23, Jacksonville 16.
You know what? That does sound about right to me. Packers by 7. Well, we'd start out right there, over and under. You want to put it at? In that case, I'm going to set the over under for this game.
Oh, well, I can tell you what it is on this site.
Want me to do it? Or you want to quote some guys in Vegas who don't know what they're talking about?
All right. Packers favored by how much?
I'm going to put the over-under at 7.5.
7.5. So if they win by more than 7.5, and you win if they're under. Okay. I will take
We win because it's the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino.
That's
true. This isn't me, Dave. I'm an agent for Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino.
7.5.
Yep.
I'm taking the over. All right, so I'm getting back in the swing. What is Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating?
Okay, now that's a classic. That's a tried and true. But again, my feeling coming into the season is it going to be a little stumbly bumbly. I'm going to set his quarterback rating at 93.
I'm going to take the over on that. Eddie Lacy rushing yards.
Eddie Lacy. Is he fat? Is he thin? Can he run? Is he going to have asthma? Is he going to be able to breathe?
Here's a better one. Rushing attempts.
For Eddie Lacy. I will set that. I'm going to set rushing attempts at 18.
I'm going to take under. I think he's going to be affected by
the heat.
The heat, yes. Right. That's going to be an interesting. How many Green Bay interceptions?
Ooh. Now, this is an intriguing one here. Interceptions. I will set that at 1.5.
1.5. I'm taking the over.
Okay.
Let's see.
And I can tell people that if you want to play, if you want to get in on the betting lines, which Dave and I haven't even considered to this very moment, forgetting that the first game was coming up, what you do is you have to send an email to Mike, right?
Yes, okay. Mike Miller.
And he's got some kind of a funky handle. What is his funky handle, Mike's?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Well, we're going to get that for you before this podcast is done. We will get that for you. But we don't actually track these. Mike does, and we'll get you his email address before we're done here. You send your predictions to him, take the overs and the unders, and then we will compile those. We'll read them next week on the air, as is our tradition. And the good news is we have renovated the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino during the off season. There was some damage caused by some overly enthusiastic guests who had won in the past, and so we were able to kind of get that cleaned up. We also ran the black light through there, so there should be no problems with microscopic filth, disease, and dirt. So Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino is all set, and that's what the winners get. And we will be able to give you that email address for Mike. You can send it to him and play along with us. So did I give you enough time to think of the rest of these, Dave?
You did. I'm all got it together. Right. It's amazing how I can multitask.
So
number five, how many sacks how many times will Aaron Rodgers be sacked? Given the sitting is gone, it's the Lane Taylor show. Yep. How many sacks will we experience?
I'm going to set that at 2.5.
2.5. I'm actually going to take the over on that one.
Oh, my.
What is number six? What will be the Packers' punt average?
Now, we have a new punter. Jacob Shum is now the punter. He looked really good against Kansas State. Now, is this gross average or net?
I'll put net.
Net. Now, we had a really good net average last year because we had
good
Tennis,
coverage.
Yeah, who was just who was a beast. But I'm not sure he's going to be ready to play. So I'm going to set the net at 37.5.
37.5. Oh, I'm going to take the over on that one.
All right. So in other words, you think that the net will be like 40, right?
Correct.
All right, so I'm saying 37.5. All right.
All right, number seven. I think they have a bunch of good returners. Aberderis, well, Janice probably won't play, but, you know, this guy they got from Minnesota, whatever. So this is a yes-no. Do you think they will have some kind of a kickoff or punt return greater than 35 yards?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I don't have to set the line on this,
no,
but I
yes
do know
no.
how I would so
you
could
say
either a kickoff return or a punt return of much 35?
35 or more.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no on that. I'll be curious to see what the intelligentsia of Packers Therapy listeners think about that. But I don't think they're going to, because I don't think that's quite settled yet either. And also with the kicking rules the way they are right now, I think they're trying to discourage kickoff returns generally. So I'm gonna say probably no, but we'll have to see what the degenerate gamblers are thinking about this.
Okay, so those are your well-thought-through betting lines. You send in your answers to Mike Miller, and his email address is mitnomiller.
That's it. Mitnomiller.
MITNOMILLER @gmail.com.
Ah, mitnomiller @gmail.com. Yes, friends. Thank you for digging that out, Dave. I knew it was something funky, but Mike will be on the other end of that. You send your lines to him, your overs and unders. He will collect them. He puts them in a spreadsheet. He sends them to us. We read the winners, and then you have to book your own travel arrangements, but then you can go and vacation in the luxury of the newly renovated Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino. Now, we also have had some correspondence in touch with us this week, and I want to get to Richard from Michigan, who is one of the givers, one of the donors to Packers Therapy at yahoo.com via PayPal. He had a couple of predictions for the season. Now, we gave our predictions, of course. Dave at 11-5, me at 10-6. Richard from Michigan says that Clay Matthews will hurt his hamstring while diving aggressively for no reason at all. Okay. Another prediction, while cutting his hair, Eddie Lacy discovers he had 2 cheeseburgers and 17 French fries embedded in it. They were delicious.
I'm telling you, if he cuts his hair, he will drop weight. Hair, hamburgers, whatever. That should be another. Will he have his hair cut for the first game? That should be another bit of money.
You know, you think he should after getting yanked down by it during the preseason. But another prediction from Richard, Eddie Lacy runs for over 1,200 yards before realizing that drive-through windows are made for cars as well. Ouch. That's brutal. And then another prediction is that Aaron Rodgers will find a new way to roll his eyes at the bench after a receiver runs the correct route, makes the catch, breaks 2 tackles, and scores a touchdown, but didn't have his shoelaces tied correctly. That is a bitter commentary.
That is. Yeah. That's that's the Olivia Munn influence that we've seen.
Exactly. Yep. Now, did you see the picture of Aaron and Olivia with Allie Reisman, the Olympic gymnast? Were you able to get a look at that?
I saw the picture. I didn't know who that was. So that's the gymnast. Okay.
That's who that was. And what shocked me about that, did you see the Ed Grimley thing that Aaron had
yes.
with his hair? It's like he had a spike on the top of his head. It was amazing.
Yeah. That's what the kids are doing these days, Chris.
I guess so. I mean, your kid, you're like 32-year-old kids, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, there was other people who were in touch with us this week. We had our senior chief, who I think may be out to sea now, right? I think Chief Tom has gone out to sea, and he's going to be out for like 2 months or something like that. If you're not Tom, and you're listening to this, Godspeed.
No, go out to sea and don't make us liars.
Yeah, please. That's right.
Don't make a liar out of Chris.
Because
get on that boat and go out to sea.
Enough people have done that already.
Listen to our podcast.
We also got a lot of tweets this week. Pastor Kevin in touch with us. We mentioned earlier our man in Paris, who's no longer in Paris, Chuck P., also in touch. Andrew Hetzel hitting us on Twitter. We appreciate that. Of course, last week we had a wonderful email exchange with our very own medical authority and team physician, Dr. Klaus. Thank you, everybody, for being in touch with us. Pop culture. But before I get to anything, Richard from Michigan sent us a few pop culture things. And he had a whole list here, but I'm just going to do the ones that I've watched and that I like among his suggestions. including Prison Break, which is coming back. I think even this fall will be back on Fox. Yeah, Prison Break. If you haven't watched the 80 or so episodes of Prison Break from, what, about a decade ago, I strongly recommend that, as does Richard from Michigan. Watch those, and then you can catch up on the return of Prison Break, which may be in a limited run. I think it's coming to Fox this fall. He also suggests Making a Murderer, which wasn't really a TV show. It was more of a docuseries. That was on Netflix. And he also is recommending House of Cards. He says he just started season four. I made it through season four. That is a maybe somewhat absurd, dark, but a terrific binge-watchable Netflix show. And the last one that he has was going to be my pop culture suggestion for this week. And I've watched seven episodes. Right now, Richard from Michigan's only watched six, and that's Bloodline. It's another Netflix series.
Yes, I've been recommending that one for weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely terrific. I don't watch it because of your recommendations, Dave, because yours are typically bad. but this time, I'm going to have to say yes. Bloodline, absolutely. Watch it. Family drama, kind of a thriller, maybe a bit overcooked. I'm looking forward to wrapping up this podcast so I can go watch another episode or two.
Yeah, it's very good. He's got one on here that I just finished, is Stranger Things.
Yes.
Which is funny because they use the phrase mouth breather in that show. But kids say it as an insult, so you said that to Ted Thompson, which was not very nice. But I just finished that, and if you like anything 80s, Poltergeist, Goonies, E.T., you know, just 80s culture generally, or grew up in the 80s, this is a great, really fun show. And I watched it with my youngest daughter, and it's completely appropriate for her to watch for the most part.
Really? So, inappropriate for her to watch?
No, appropriate.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Appropriate, yes. And then the one I then started is, have we talked about this, The Night Of on HBO?
Oh, I think that was my recommendation last week, I think. Yeah.
Was it? Did you do The Night Of?
I've watched the entire series. It's terrific.
All right. So I will I just started the second one. I could tell right away this is going to be very, very good. Although the first episode and how they kind of lay up, I'll give a little bit of spoiler. There's a murder that happens.
Shocking.
The amount of things, as I'm already looking to see how he is going to have to get his way out of this predicament, he had a series of unfortunate events that happened to him.
We've all been there. Come on.
Yes. Many bad decisions, and you know, I don't know how in the world he's going to get out of it. So I'm really looking forward to watching this season. There is another show since we talked about mine already. I'm not going to know. It's a Louis C.K. I gotta look it up here. Louis C.K. Show.
Is this the one you sent me?
Yes. What is the name of that
three?
Show?
It's the names of two people. Dave, does that help you at all? Yeah, I'm glad we worked this out in advance in our copious amounts of show prep.
I'm gonna come back to now. Louis has a TV show.
Yes.
Horace and Pete.
Horace and Pete. Yes.
Yes.
Based
so
on
Horace
the episode you sent me, I won't be watching it. It is too much reality. Too much. It was painful to watch. It was great. It was brilliant. Well acted. Extremely well written. But it just cut to the heart. And I lived that life. I don't need, you know, to watch somebody else living it too.
Yeah. So Horace and Pete. I mean, basically Louis C.K. and his TV show is a slight. It's like Seinfeld, but very, very realistic. You know, there are funny parts to it. His stand-up is funny. But, I mean, there's kind of an edge and a very real-life element to his show, Louis. Horace and Pete, he's not playing himself. He's playing Horace, I think. But it is, and it goes about a million steps further in the reality of controversial topics. It's dark and sad, but the one show that you watched, I watched three times because I had to watch it again, and then I watched it with somebody else just to, like, it's just hard to explain. I think that was the third episode, if you had a chance
right,
to
it was the third episode, yeah.
Jump into it, and I don't even know if you'd have to
know
back.
No, you do not. I don't think you need to know the rest of the plot. It's sort of self-contained, but it's painful, and it's beautiful. It's extremely well done, and it'll hurt your heart.
It'll hurt your heart. If it'll come on Netflix, then I think people will talk about it more. Now you have to buy it and watch it on a browser, which is kind of a shame. But I don't know if I've seen anything like it. I mean, that devastated me.
No, there's some first-tour actors in this thing, too. I mean, Alan Alda, right, is in it.
Right.
The theme is done by Paul Simon, which is an extremely sad tune that he does. The actress in the episode in question, isn't she the woman that plays on the Big Bang Theory? She plays Sheldon's mom on the Big Bang Theory, I believe. But she's doing a dramatic role here, and that's dramatic with a capital D, I believe. I mean, it's really, really powerful stuff.
So, yeah, I would definitely – Edie Falco's in it.
Right.
Steve Buscemi's in
it.
Jessica Lange. So there's some good actors, actresses. I mean, it's an acting show.
Exactly.
And if you have – if you're alone, you just feel like being depressed, but to a way that your life is at least better than somebody else's, this is a great show. So that's my recommendation of the week.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, there was something that was posted to Facebook. Now, I'm not on Facebook. Packers Therapy is, but I don't even check it anymore. But I was able to read something that was posted by one of the guys from Channel 5 in Green Bay, WFRV. It was a post from Charlie Daniels. Remember the Charlie Daniels band? You might be too young, Dave. They were
– The Dough Went Down to Georgia?
That's right. That's exactly who did that. Well, apparently Charlie Daniels and his band played in Green Bay this past week. And on the 2nd of September, last Friday, Charlie Daniels did a post on Facebook about his trip to Green Bay. And he says, "We did a show last night in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And as our hotel is a couple of blocks from Lambeau Field, the legendary home of the Green Bay Packers, my wife and I took a walk around the area, taking in the ambience, pride, and history of the stadium and the fabled team that plays there. As I stood a block or so away, I was struck by the fact that the stadium sets in the middle of a residential area with a row of single-family houses just outside the end zone wall. Of course, there's the usual collection of sports bars, restaurants, and souvenir stands in the area, but the overwhelming impression is one of a neighborhood where 80,000 fans turn up to watch a football game on any given Sunday, complete with cottage industry parking lots and residents who get the testing of the public address system and the arrival of tailgaters with their Sunday morning coffee. I was impressed, and the first thought that entered my mind was, It don't get much more America than this. I don't think any place in the nation looks at their ball team as being a pillar of the community quite as seriously as Packer backers." And it goes on from there. I did want to read that because, well, I like the Charlie Daniels band. When I was on the college radio station back in the 70s, we played Charlie Daniels band. But beyond that, I just thought it was a really interesting observation from a guy who is from Tennessee. I think he might live in Nashville. And, you know, he's on the road. He's around the country, been around the country probably dozens of times. And, you know, he takes the time to look around Green Bay, and that's what he came away with, this very positive sense of this town and this team. I mean, in his post, he goes on to note about the Packers stock, you know, the fact that, you know, people own the team, not just a single entity. He talks about the frozen tundra, you know, talks about the team and its special relationship to the city, and it's so apparent on the surface. Anybody that's been to Green Bay, you get that feeling right away, and there's something special about it. Now, Dave and I, lucky enough to have been to Lambeau Field many times. I was even there earlier this season. And, you know, I think you sometimes maybe can lose that specialness when you've been there, especially been there quite a few times.
You live there.
Yeah.
I think you can.
Right,
yeah.
You know, you sometimes lose it, but when it isn't a regular thing for you, like you're Charlie Daniels, and you come to the city and you're just impressed by this special relationship, this huge international business that's really in the middle of a residential section town. It really is very special. I wish, my wish for everybody listening to this podcast, listening to Packers Therapy, that you get the chance to see your favorite team come to Green Bay, to be in that environment, to spend some time, to go to the Hall of Fame, to have the game day experience. It really, really is a special thing. It doesn't take Charlie Daniels to tell you that, but it's something that should be on your bucket list if you're a Packer fan, because it truly is a special thing. And I hope for you and me, Dave, that when we go on the 25th, hopefully go on the 25th, that we can just take a step back and realize how lucky and how special we are to be able to have that kind of experience with really a team that is such a fabric of this sport and a piece of Americana. We're lucky as Packer fans. We really are. And it would be a damn shame to ever lose that sense of how special it is.
I don't know how to follow that up. I'll just sit here and cry for a while, if that's okay.
Well, you can always watch Horace and Pete if you're not crying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say something? I was watching Horace and Pete.
Well, that's going to wrap Packers Therapy for the preseason. We're looking ahead now. Dave and I are both expecting a Packers playoff season, and they probably will. If everyone stays healthy, they'll probably find a way to get that done. And then who knows what will happen once they get into the postseason. Got to get there, though, first. We've got 16 weeks of games ahead of us, starting with Jacksonville on September 11th. Dave and I are going to be watching, and we will be back with a podcast after that game is over. And until that time, I'm Chris.
I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy. I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.